John 16. These things I've spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I've spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine, and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine, and will disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while, you will see me. Some of the disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. And so they were saying, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said a little while, and you will not behold me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again, and going to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now you are speaking plainly, and you are not using a figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, and have no need for anyone to question you. But this we believe, that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Amen. And so he's finishing off the teaching aspect of the upper room discourse, and then tomorrow we'll talk about the high priestly prayers. So he's wrapping up again. This is the last words that he's speaking to his own disciples before he heads towards the cross in Calvary. And he says, as he starts this chapter, he says, "I'm gonna tell you these things. I don't want you to be afraid, and I don't want you to stumble." One thing that we should keep in mind is when Jesus is speaking, especially the Lord, that we have to keep two lenses in view. And maybe one of the best ways to look at it is like looking through like a periscope, You see the first mirror that's right in front of you here, right? And so you see what's going on here, but you also have to take a long view to see what he's talking about that's also coming to the future. We've heard the phrase, right? The kingdom of God is here and also yet to come. And it's this same kind of picture that when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking about what's happening right now. Right? He's telling these guys, hey, man, I'll tell you what, you guys are, I'm going to be gone very soon. You're going to be very sad, but stay together. Don't worry about it. I'm going to come back to you. And so he's talking about a moment right here, but he's also talking about a moment that's to come in the future. And it's kind of interesting that he starts this and, notice verse 2, right? I mean, you're talking about, the future, right? So here's what's happening now. I'm going to be killed. Right, they're going to do it in the name of God, but let me tell you what's going to happen. What's going to come, even further on, right? And he tells him that many will kill you, right? To think they're offering service to God. You know, this is happening almost on a daily basis right now, right? You know, I don't know if you guys get this, but I get the CSW, the weekly summary, right? You know, that comes out every week. And that's just out of this Hong Kong office, you know? And it's just, I mean, just article after article about people that are dying for their faith, you know, but dying at the hands of other people who claim to be operating under God's name. It's quite an amazing phenomenon that's happening today. You know, we're at a staff meeting, you know, and Pastor Salamat was mentioning that, you know, the first time, I guess in a long time, that actually a church had a suicide bomber. You know, one person died, 20 others were injured, you know, and then it actually came out in the CSW report later in the week. Right, and it's the first time in Indonesia that actually there was actually a suicide bomber. Before, they would just leave bombs, you know, and all in the name of God, you know, thinking that they're serving the Lord and doing this. It's happening almost on a daily basis, right? And so, I mean, you're talking about the end times, you know. I mean, I don't want to be one of those, you know, revelation, you know, lunatics, right? They talk about the end times every second they get, right? But this is the last of the last days. You know, and Jesus is telling you, you know, there's a time coming, right? An hour is coming. That's what he says. For everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. Right? I mean, think about that. He says the hour is coming. You know, it's come for the Lord. It's come for disciples. And we see this long view, right? I mean, it's happening almost every single day. You know, just amazing, you know. And it's crazy to think that, you know, probably most people listening or reading this, you know, would have thought, okay, they're talking about Judaism, you know, or certain things. And whoever thought there would be a whole other religion that comes on the scene, you know, that is born out of Abraham's bosom, you know, that would wreck this kind of, you know, damage. I mean, just absolutely amazing. And so, you know, he's telling them, remember, he's telling them, I don't want you to stumble. And so what is his main encouragement that he's bringing to his disciples? Right, the encouragement is that I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, right? And literally in his name is the encourager, right? And he says, and the helper come, in other words, the paraclete, the one who stands right alongside, and he will come and he'll guide you into all truth. And he'll do three things. He'll convict the world concerning sin, right? And the major part of sin that he's dealing with is the issue of unbelief, because he's sinned because they do not believe, right? I mean, that's what he says in verse 9. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I go to the Father, you no longer behold me. And judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Right? And so, you know, think about this, and I think we can, you know, sometimes misunderstand what Jesus is saying. Right? He's gonna convict the world concerning sin. In other words, right, that he's gonna draw people. You know, and the sin that you know, obviously sin is quite broad, you know, but he's really major what he's talking about, the sin of unbelief. You know, and then he's gonna convict the world concerning righteousness. You know, and this a friend of mine, you know, really, we were talking about this passage, you know, many years ago, and he made a really good point. He says, you know, that we think that, you know, the Holy Spirit, or when we think about conviction, you know, we always think about it in terms of a negative aspect, right? He's going to convict you of what you did wrong. Well, it tells us that he's going to convict us of righteousness. So could it be that he actually convicts us of maybe some things that we actually do right? You know, convict us of the righteousness of God that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not always just a negative thing. You know, it's not always, oh, you messed up, you did something bad, you should change this, you should transform this. But he convicts us of our righteousness, right? That's made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it's this encouragement that comes to us. You know, and then he convicts the world concerning judgment, right? Now, the judgment is that, and this is also an encouragement, right? The judgment is not just, okay, if you do this, you're going to be judged. He says, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And so concerning the judgment is the judgment of the enemy of this world. You know, I mean, that should give you a little bit of confidence, you know, in your life, right? If, you know, if you recognize, oh, the enemy has already been judged, you know, and so, you know, the whole idea again is this encouragement, right? You know, look, I got to go. You know, I know your heart is filled with sorrow. I have to go, but if I go, the helper will come to you. You know, and so, you know, the disciples have a very vague idea of the Holy Spirit. you know, like most people living in the first century, because the Holy Spirit was around in the Old Testament. You know, they had heard, you know, that the Spirit, you know, would touch guys like, Bezalel or Bela, I forgot what the guy's name, you know, but who basically built the temple, you know, and it was just adorned with gifts, right? And just was incredible skill, you know, in craftsmanship. And so and they knew that the Spirit of God, you know, came upon David and kings and priests and prophets, you know, that in fact Saul, when he was, you know, when he was chasing after David, the Spirit of God came upon him and he started prophesying, you know. And so they're vaguely aware of the role of the Holy Spirit, but not so much, you know, because, I mean, it's kind of a mystery to them. And so he's beginning to tell them a little bit. And so notice one of the first lessons that he gives, he talks about the person of the Holy Spirit. We talk about this, right? The Holy Spirit, right? The word is pneuma, right? And so in Greek, when you're, you know, when John is compiling this, right? The word is pneuma, and Jesus is saying this. The pneuma is a non-gender word. In other words, it's neither male nor female, right? It's beyond gender. And there's actually quite a few words like that. You know, and so it's neither male nor female. But yet Jesus particularly uses the pronoun he, you know, to display, right, that because the proper grammar were to say that it, when it comes into the world, it will concern, you know, righteousness and sin and et cetera, et cetera. But he uses the word he because the first lesson that Jesus wants to portray and give to his disciples is that the Holy Spirit, right, the Spirit of truth, this helper, this parakletos, right, this is a person. It's not something, it's not some force, it's not some energy. You know what I mean? I mean, this is the, you know, I know, you know, I have conversations with Chinese people sometimes, right, you know, every once in a while, you know, and they talk about Chinese non-believers, right, and they talk to me about qi, you know, and, you know, different types of beliefs, you know, and this is a major difference, right? And their point of view is, well, qi is just this energy that we have, right? You know, and it's this impersonal thing. And then they're trying to tell me that's the same thing as what we talk about in the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm like, no, you totally miss out, see? The Holy Spirit is not some energy. It's not some force. It's the person, the third person of the Trinity. And in fact, when Jesus is talking about when he comes, really, he's in essence, he's talking about himself, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not some chi, you know, it's not some energy that we have, it's not some force, it's not a power, right? It's the third person of the Trinity. And he's trying to relay this message to them, you know, and is saying, look, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right, as plain as you have a relationship with me, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's a person who has a personality, right? I mean, have you ever, you know, been into a place, right, that was, you know, I mean, dedicated to God and, you know, and all these wonderful things and things happened, but then the Spirit was quenched and you feel it, right? And as a result, not a lot of life is happening. You know, I mean, I've been to meetings. I've been invited to speak at meetings and churches and, you know, a lot of different activities. And, you know, and you'll walk into a place, you know, and you think, man, I mean, this is a church. They've dedicated this meeting to God, but yet something is not right here, right? And it's been quenched. The Spirit has been quenched, right? He's a personality, you know. I mean, he's a person. He has a personality. That's why, you know, the picture in the New Testament, you know, the gospel writers, you know, the script. What is the animal that depicts the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the Lion of Judah, right? And so we think, well, that's cool, man, lion. But it's also the lamb. You know, and so you get this, like, beautiful picture of understanding what it means. Yeah, he's a lion. He's ferocious. He's the king of the jungle, you know. But yet he's also the lamb. You know, and so, you know, we could take this picture of animals. What animal is chosen to depict the Holy Spirit? Right? A dove, you know, this fragile little bird, right? That, you know, I don't know if you've been around birds and stuff, but they scare very easily. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, that, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit scares us or anything like that, But you know, the interesting part is like animals, you know, especially the dove, you know, their owners, they'll come to, you know, they'll do all kinds of stuff. You know, if you've seen like really nice weddings, they'll release the doves, you know, after the ceremony and stuff like that. And so they can be trained to do these kind of things, but they need to feel comfortable with the owner. You know, and in that same way, it's that same. We can have a relationship. We could scare the dove away very easily, right? We can frighten it. And it's not like we don't scare by saying boo, you know, or something like that, trying to run after them. But it's our unbelief, right? It's our cynicism, you know. It's our bad attitudes, right? And we cause the dove to flee, you know, and, you know, quench the spirit and, you know, and this type of stuff. And so he's introducing us to this spirit of truth, right? And this spirit of truth will disclose so many wonderful things to us, right? And this is why, listen, you know, when you read the Bible, every time you read the scriptures, you should always ask the Lord to send his spirit to speak to you, right? Because he will reveal truth to you. You know, and it's, you know, I mean, have you ever sat there and like, you know, and I, this is a typical habit of mine, right? Whenever I read the Bible for quiet time or any reason at all, whenever I read, I'll always pray and ask the Lord, right, to send the Spirit to speak to me, you know, to illuminate the scriptures to me. And there'll be times that I forget to pray, you know, and I'll read passages. I'll read it over and over and over again. I'll be like, wow, what, you know? And like, you know, you're like daydreaming, you know, in some ways. You're not getting it. And I'll be right, oh, yeah, I need the helper. I need the one who will reveal truth to me. You know, so I just take a step back and say, Lord, just will you come, Holy Spirit, and just reveal scriptures, and God speaks. You know, I mean, and, you know, I've been a Christian, you know, since 1992, right? And, you know, I've never had a time where I pray to the Lord and he didn't reveal something to me in truth. You know, it's just a no-brainer, right? This is you know, what the Lord does in our lives, right? And then he begins to, you know, foretell them about his death and his resurrection. He says, man, I'm going to be with you. You know, the Bible says this. It says they didn't even ask him these things. And, you know, my place, they didn't even ask him because they were afraid to ask. You know, have you ever been in that type of situation? Jesus is saying all these things about what's going to happen, and they wouldn't even bother venture to ask him anything because they're afraid to ask him. You know, they're scared, right? That they, you know, that they're confused, right? And so they don't even bother. And then they start, you know, having this discourse, you know, this whole idea of a little while and back and forth, and you know, and then he gives them this beautiful picture. He says, "Look, I'm going to be gone, and you're going to be sorrowful, but it's going to turn to joy." And then he gives us this picture of a woman that's having a baby, you know. And he says, you know, this woman has a baby and, right, is going through a lot of pain and anguish and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and then the baby comes and the pain is forgotten. I don't know how true that is, right, because I heard it takes about a year for them to forget the pain. But I think what Jesus means is that the pain is overridden with the joy of having this baby there, you know, and it's something quite precious, you know, and, you know, like Lisa, you know, when we had Hannah, I mean, can you believe Hannah's almost a year old now? She's got like one more month to go, or a month and a half, you know, and, you know, Hannah happened so fast that, right, Lisa didn't get any epidural, no anesthesia. I mean, this was, you know, we talk about natural childbirth. This is natural childbirth. This is like back to the Stone Ages kind of childbirth, right? You know, and, you know, I thought everything's okay. And, you know, she seemed like she was doing well. She's, man, I was about to faint. You know, I mean, I thought I was going to die. It was like the most pain I've ever endured. You know, but yet, as soon as she says that, you know, I mean, this is after the case. As soon as the baby comes, you know, she turns to me and says, hey, you know, I'm open for four, right? You know, and stuff. And so I think she was disappointed because it was a girl. She thought I was disappointed because it was a, you know, our third girl. Honest to truth, I wasn't disappointed, right? I don't want people to think, you know, I'm one of those kind of guys. I was really quite happy, you know, that we had another girl. Do I want a boy? Sure. You know, I'm open. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but in case, you know. But, you know, so, but it's, I mean, it's just, I mean, this illustration, this is what I think about, right? You know, just going through this excruciating pain. What is going on? And then, hey, you know, if you want to have another one, I'm open. You know, it's so simple. And it's just the joy of having this child, and it overrides any pain that you have. I think this kind of goes in line with the messages that have been coming the last few weeks. You know, that there may be a sorrowful time or there may be a trying moment in our lives, and we may feel like, you know, how am I ever going to get through this? And, you know, Jesus says joy is coming. You know, the joy is coming, right? You know, I think it's a Matt Redman song, you know, and the words pretty much, you know, talk about that, you know, the joy for those that wait. Pastor Eugene, help me out with this, you know, help me out, man. Right, you know, it's you know, I think it's a Dirksen song, right? You know, it's for those that wait, you know, and this is a reality. There's some things that go on in our lives, right? And you know, and the thing that comes to me is when my mom passed away, and I you mourn through a season, and but there were times where I felt so hopeless. You know, but more in the sense that I thought, how can I ever get back to normal? You know what I mean? I mean, how can I ever get over this? Or how can I ever, you know, go back to what it was like before? You know, and I mean, literally just really had this thought that I can never get over this. You know, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life, you know, just, you know, crying here and there, you know, memory pops in and you kind of lose it. You know, and there's that despair, you know, that kind of sorrow, like, I'm never going to be the same again, or it's never going to be the same. You know, this is the situation I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. But yet, God brings joy, right, in time. You know, I mean, I stand to you, you know, today, right, having experienced that in my own life. Right, and when you think that maybe because of a delayed prayer or certain things that happen in your life, and you feel like, man, this is it. It's never going to be the same again, or you know, it's you know, never going to be good, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but God turns mourning into joy. Only He can do that. Is there anyone else or anything else in the world that can accomplish that in our lives? But it's the Lord. You know, and he begins to relay this message. Look, sorrow will be turned to joy. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back. You know, and this is the reason for the joy in our lives, right? And for me, I mean, just very, you know, naturally put, I mean, the reason for the joy, you know, in my life is, man, one day, you know, when my time is up, I'm going to get to go see my mom again. You know, I'm going to get to go see all my loved ones, you know, and we're going to rejoice for eternity. Right, and you put that in the guise of, you know, what, you know, I'm 40-some, right? If I'm lucky, I got another 40 years to live, right? So I'm about halfway done. You know, this is my half-life right now, right? You know, I mean, I know it sounds gloomy, but I mean, it's not gloomy at all. I mean, I'm excited, you know, and then I get to be with the Lord. I mean, what other reason for joy could there be, right? And you know, well, in case we continue on. And so, you know, he continues on, and, you know, the last thing I just want to close with, he says in end of 23, you shall ask the Father for anything, and he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you receive, that joy may be full. Now, let me tell you what Jesus is saying, and Jesus what is not saying, okay? Now, there's, you know, an idea in the church that whenever you pray, you have to pray in Jesus' name, right? So you have to end your prayer, it says, in Jesus' name, amen, right? That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not telling us that you use a certain phraseology and it will happen, right? You know, he's not saying that, you know, that if you use this formula, right, that's what we call animism. You know, animism, you know, meaning witchcraft and, you know, sorcery and, you know, and voodoo and all these things. You know, and that's all, you know, you've seen the movies and stuff, right? It's an incantation. You know, if you say this, you know, phrase, you can cast a spell or whatnot. That's not Christianity, okay? Christianity is not some kind of formula or some phrase or anything like that. It's a relationship with the person. When you're saying in Jesus' name, right, and it says God will grant you in, right, when you pray in Jesus' name, what you're praying, what you're saying is you're praying in the stead. You're praying out of a relationship with Jesus. You're praying His will. It's like when you say, you know, in the name of the King, you're saying with the authority of the King, right? I am the representative of the King, you know, and in the same way when you're saying in Jesus' name, you're basically saying this is a prayer that Jesus would pray. In other words, it's according to Jesus' will. It's like getting a stamp on it. You know, and so, you know, it's probably a good idea for us to understand what His will is. You know, otherwise we may be praying for stuff that just might be like in left field. You know, it may sound good, you know, but it may not produce any fruit because it's not in Jesus' name, right? It's not where His heart is, right? It's not, you know, what He would pray, you know, what He would ask the Father for, you know? And so, right, so the prayer itself, right, it's not a formula. It's not some kind of phrase. That's idolatry. That's animism. Right, you know, if you do Rama Lama Bama Shama, you know, and then this something happens, that's not, we don't believe in that, right? And so don't reduce our prayer life, you know, or this idea of in Jesus' name, you know, don't reduce it to some kind of formula or some kind of phrase. It means it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship, because there's a closeness and relationship, we can ask the Father, right, and He moves on our behalf. Right? Do you guys understand that? It's quite an important point, actually, about prayer. And so let's close our eyes. Right? He ends this whole thing. He says, "These things I've spoken to you," right? He bookends this with the same message. "That in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I've overcome the world." And so as Jisun leads us in a song, can I invite you, is there anything that's troubling you today? Can I invite you just to lay it at His feet? Can I invite you to walk in relationship with Jesus and just give it to Him? Whatever is that's heavy on your heart, it may not be for yourself, it may be for somebody else, or maybe for another nation, a different situation. But let me invite you just to go before the Lord. And in Jesus' name, in relationship with Jesus, just to surrender whatever that may be to the Lord.
Strength to make me grow. Only you.
Let's pray this morning. Spend some time and let's continue to give Him those things that are heavy in our heart. And, you know, and in that same way, let's cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, our helper, our advocate, right, the one who stands right alongside of us, our encourager. You know, let's ask the Lord for a kind of a heart, a tenderness that is always open. Right, that's quick to obey. Right, that's quick to repent. Right, that's always welcoming. Right, that we wouldn't quench the Lord's work in our lives. Let's just spend a moment. Let's just cultivate that heart before the Lord and pray to that end. And with that, let's pray for many of our church members that may be heavy-hearted this time, maybe because of illness or looking for jobs or whatever the case may be. You know, let's just continue to lift them up. Let's continue to pray for Charles's dad. Let's ask God to continue to touch him and give him strength and energy during his cancer. Let's pray for Alex's father as well. Just wrote an update. His dad's been losing a little bit of weight these days and been unable to eat. And he has quite an important appointment coming up next week. And let's pray that as he's in the hospital getting fluids and getting nutrition, that he would get stronger for his consultation and that God would just really intervene in their family and in through this situation. Let's continue to pray for Kian's mother as well. She's actually getting a little better. Right, so let's continue to pray for full healing. If I could just a request to pray for my aunt. My aunt has pancreatic cancer, and she went through a round of chemo already, seemingly the cancer is slowly starting to spread again. And so, she's in her second round now that she's got to start again. And so, you know, I'll really pray for her to be healed. She lives in Chicago. Let's continue to pray for Chris's auntie as well. And there's just a lot of warfare going on, you know, in regard to her whole family and, you know, kind of Christian beliefs and Buddhism and, you know, and all that kind of stuff and visiting temples and all that, you know. And so let's just really pray and just cover Krista and her family, you know, before the Lord. You know, let's remember Janella and Jeff's grandparents. They have three grandparents that are all very, very ill, you know, that they can, you know, pretty much go any day now. And so just pray, real covering, you know, over them. One of the grandparents is actually a pastor, you know, or a former pastor, and just really cover this man of God and just bless them as they go through this season of their life. And, you know, and they've been very good kids and been doing a very great job and taking care of them. And let's pray for strength in their family and all the stuff that goes on. And so let's just continue to lift up our church members, you know, ones that, you know, are looking to make transitions and jobs and different things. Let's just continue to lift them up and ask the Lord to, you know, to move on their behalf and to answer prayers and for God to really be their strength at this time. So let's pray. Thank you. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Leanne Chang, especially as she's going through her language courses that she would excel. Pray for the kids in Chichihar, the government, the churches. Pray for the Beijing church plant and especially the two families. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family as he's finishing up the school in New York. And also pray for Chris and Amy as they welcomed in a new baby girl yesterday. Right? She's same birthday as Elise. Right? So let's just cover them and pray for the plant in the same way. Let's cover. Let's pray for the leaders of our church. Let's pray for our staff and ask God to continue to use us to further His kingdom, and pray for that our relationship with the Lord would continue to grow. Pray for the board and the missions committee that they would also work and move out of wisdom, out of the heart of God and all the decisions that they make, and that God would be pleased with each of their hearts. Let's lift up our leaders. Let's pray for our Febe ministry and for the Korean church. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and Pastor Choi that God would use these men to lead these ministries with a pure heart and with a clear vision for what God wants to do. Let's cover them. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for the transition and the move, you know, not just location-wise, but also spiritually, that we'd be ready, that God would take us to a new place. Pray for all the logistics. Pray that the church would be really excited to move and that we carry a lot of momentum as we close out this year. Pray for Winston, who's doing all our AV sound stuff, and it's pretty much his turn coming up soon to take over the project, and you know, continue to lift up K+K and our contractors and Tracy, who's leading in that all of our supplies and things would come in on time. So just continue to just lift the move up to the Lord. And lastly, let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Pray for Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Sorrento, Seymour, and Star Street. Pray for all the leaders, that God would just lift them up and use them to build community, that it'll be a real time of transforming lives tonight. Let's just cover. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you come and you convict us, God, concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, Lord. And we just want to walk, God, in a way that's worthy of you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would continue to make us tender, God, in our attitudes, Lord, in our life, and God, that we just, Lord, constantly, God, just walk in obedience to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, so much. Watch over us, God, the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.